All right, guys, we're in lesson 20 today. I thought this was going to be our last lesson about angels and demons. Actually, we have one more lesson. So, because today we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the fall of angels and how that happened. Well, we're going to talk about why they think it happened and the ramifications of that. And then we're going to talk about the classification of angels. Angels are presented in different ways throughout the scripture, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. Now, next week, when we look at the lesson, we're going to talk about the work of angels. That includes evil angels, and so that you can be aware, all right, and be very much understanding. So let me just kind of remind everybody, when we talk about an angel, we're talking about a created being. Everybody understand they're a created being. They're not deity. They're not God. Therefore, they're not omnipresent, omniscient, or omnipotent. Okay? Only God is that. So, bottom line is, they can't read your mind, but then they don't need to read your mind. I'll explain that in a moment. They don't read your mind, although they plant thoughts, whisper thoughts or whatever. So I want you to understand that. So let's talk about evil angels. First of all, we got to understand, did God create evil angels? The answer to that is no. He did not create evil. He doesn't create evil. He doesn't do evil. You need to understand that. So where did evil angels come from? They created themselves. So let me just help you to understand. When he created angels, he created beings just like humans in that they had choice. We have choice, right? Adam and Eve were perfect without sin, right? But they had choice. Same thing with angels. Angels had choice. And we're going to read what the scripture describes. Start off with one angel in particular, and that led to other angels falling. Now, when we talk about the fall of angels, this is where we believe the origin of evil is from. That seems to be something that philosophers seem to struggle with throughout the world, is where did evil come from? Well, evil started with the corruption of the angels, and then, of course, spread to who? You and I with the corruption of men in the garden, right? Okay, so let's talk about this. So we're going to talk about the fall of angels. We're going to look at several things here. First of all, we're going to look at the timing of the fall. When exactly did the fall occur? That is the fall of angels, not the fall of men. So, Scripture is silent concerning when the fall of angels took place. It's silent when exactly it took place. We don't know. Now, the fall of angels obviously occurred before the fall of man, which is in Genesis 3. Now, would everybody agree with that? Yeah, because the serpent, or Satan, obviously was a fallen angel at that point, right? So it had to be sometime between Genesis 1:1, where he created the heavens and the earth, and Genesis 3. Well, if you look at Genesis 1:1, it is a general statement of where he said he creates the heavens and the earth. It could be before that, Bruce. I'm not going to hedge everything on that one thing. But what were you going to say, John? It would be sometime in eternity past, yes. Yeah, now they're in an eternal corrupt state because of it, just like we are, from the corruption of man at the fall. So as far as when it happened, it's happened in the past, but you're right, it was in without time. But it was before, obviously, the fall of man. So now, let's talk about the cause of the fall. Now, angels were created perfect in every affection of their hearts directed towards God. So their whole purpose was to serve God. Their hearts were directed to that. So they were created to be servants of the Most High. And they have various types of positions and so forth. We're going to see that later. Now, the fall of angels was due to their deliberate, self-determined revolt against God. So the angels, something got a hold of them so that they decided to revolt against God. Now that just blows my mind. So that's when sin enters into the cosmos. When there was a choice to rebel against God. That's when sin entered into the cosmos. Now, it was a choice prioritizing their own interests over those of God. So it was prioritizing what they wanted over the interest of God. Now, there are two passages in Scripture that talk about the fall of Satan. One is in Ezekiel, which we're going to look at here in a moment, and the other is in Isaiah. I believe it's chapter 14. Now listen to what Ezekiel says. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, raise a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him. All right, stop. With both of these passages, they refer to the king of Tyre, who is obviously, just so you know, a king in Lebanon. All right, so want to know geographically. I thought we're talking about Satan here, George. Well, he's talking about he's bringing a word of the Lord against the king of Tyre at that time. But when you read what's being said, he's also talking about someone else. He's talking about someone else. So it's very obvious he's not talking about the king of Tyre. He's talking about Satan, a glorious angel. So let's just read it. Here it is. Thus says the Lord God, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering: sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings. On that day you were created, they were prepared. All right, so stop. Could the king of Tyre have been in the Garden of Eden? No. So he's obviously not talking about the king of Tyre. But he's talking about the demonic force behind the king of Tyre. Now let's go on. You were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire, you walked. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. In abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you before kings to feast their eyes on you. By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. So I brought fire out of your midst. It consumed you. I turned you to ashes on the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have come to a dreadful end and shall be no more forever. All right. So you could tell he's talking about Tyre, the king of Tyre, his destruction, but he's also talking about the destruction of Satan here. All right. Now, from this passage, what was it about someone that was so perfect? So by the way, when you see TV and it tries to present to you Satan as some kind of hideous thing, that's baloney, right? Here, the passage says It was a perfect one. A beautiful, a thing of beauty, right? Now, what was his sin? Pride. Pride in what? Yeah, how beautiful he was. Yeah. And somehow he lifted in his mind. Isaiah will tell us in the passage in Isaiah that he lifted himself up against, somehow he thought he was better than God. Boy, you talk about being messed up in your mind, right? This being was messed up in his mind. And so therefore, it's describing the destruction of the king of Tyre, but it's also the destruction of Satan because he's cast down into fire. Now that will take place in the future when? When he's cast into the lake of fire. So we see Satan here succumbs to pride. Now, does everybody understand the chief sin of every living creature is what? Pride. Every sin that you commit comes out of your pride. You know better. You know what to do. You know what I'm saying? You're in the position of authority. Well, if you think about the temptation that Eve faced with Satan, when he's saying about that she couldn't eat from this and that brought up the whole point that she couldn't become a god, that he confused her and she fell for it because of pride, right? All right, so let's take a look here. The fall of Satan was the cause of other evil angels falling. So when he fell, he caused other angels to fall. What do you mean? Satan drew a third of the angels with him. Now, we don't know the exact number. Why? Because the angels are numbered as the sands on the sea. But all we know is a third of them, which is a whole lot of them, fell with Satan. How do we know that? Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 through 4. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with seven heads and ten horns, and on his seven heads, seven diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. Now, he took a third of the angels with him. Now, we don't know what that number is, but it's obviously a lot, right? And they're referred to here, and we've already talked about this, as stars. Remember, sometimes in the scripture, angels are referred to as stars. Now, here's what I want you to see is the result. What happened because of the fall? Fallen angels lost their original holiness and became corrupt in nature, and that's how they'll forever be. They lost their original holiness because they were created holy, right? They lost that, and then they became corrupted, forever corrupted. Those who did not fall will be forever holy. There's no opportunity for them to choose otherwise now, okay? But these folks became corrupt, and so therefore, the assumption is, and it's not just an assumption, we can state there is no possibility of repentance for an angel. Do you understand? It's not like some angel, fallen angel somewhere decides, I've had enough of this, I'm going back to God. God, I'm sorry, I repent. That's not possible. They are forever corrupted. Therefore, forever condemned. All right? Forever condemned. Some of the fallen angels were cast down to hell, or Tarshish, in chains until the day of judgment. Something happened. Now, some folks, you brought up Genesis 6 last week. Some dispensationalists will say that there was a cohabitation between the sons of God and the daughters of men, and therefore that resulted in giants. I don't think that's possible. And the reality is that there isn't any other proof that any of that has ever existed since then. But something happened in the fall that some of them were cast down in chains until the time of judgment. Now, when is the time of judgment? Anybody know? Well, not just the second coming. All right, go ahead. What did you say? When the tribulation begins, in the tribulation, Satan is given a key to the abyss, right? And from there, he releases from this prison the demons to torment the world. Millions of them to torment the world. And it is these that are ones who have been cast into these chains. These were the ones who were cast into these chains. So some of them, some fallen angels were left free to engage in opposition to the work of good angels. Or I would even say to the work of God's people, right? So that's what we see happening here. So here's what I want you to see now. Fallen angels will face judgment and will be cast into the lake of fire. They will be cast into the lake of fire in the end. How do we know that? Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. This is talking about Satan. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So there, I want you to see who gets tormented in the end. Satan, right? Satan. Now, before we get into the classifications of angels, anybody got a question so far about the fall of angels? Any thoughts? Not during the time. It says he was in Eden, but so he had to be created before that. Okay, and if you remember what John said earlier, we don't have a time frame. So we can't say like on Tuesday, you know, because the reality is these angels exist in timelessness. In timelessness. So the reality is that how soon after he was created, we don't know. We don't have the timeline of any of that. All we know is he was created a perfect being, a cherub. We're going to talk about what a cherub is here in a moment. And he lifted up in his heart because of his pride. Because he thought he was looking good. Do you know what I'm saying? And thought he, maybe it was because of the position he had. He got lifted up and therefore fell. And he took a third of the angels with him. Yes, he was an anointed cherub. This passage just said that. We'll talk about what a cherub is. Tammy. Go right ahead. We've got time. I think they were done. I don't think there's any record. There's nothing in the scripture that says they're continuing to be created. I actually don't think he needs to create anymore. If he created enough that is like the sands on the sea or the stars in the heaven, that's a lot. So I don't think that there's a need for that, okay? All right, what's your next question? Yes. All right, so let's remind ourselves, we talked about this in the first week, they are incorporeal, meaning they are spirits. Okay, now angels can appear in a form in whatever way they want to, yes. But they are spirits, okay, they're spirit beings. I mean, the reality is, you guys know there are angels here right now, right? We can't see them. There might be evil angels here. There might be good angels here. We need to understand that, right? This is the world we live in. We don't see the non-physical. Now, sometimes we entertain them They take on human form, but we're not told when that is or how often that is or whatever. Do you understand? So the reality is we live in a world with spirit beings around us. We're being observed. We'll talk about that next week. They're observing us, even the evil ones. Here's the thing. Remember I told you they can't read your mind? You want to know why they can't read your mind? They don't have that ability, but they don't need to have that ability. All they need to do is just observe you. And they know what your habits are. So for instance, really? Yes. Because all of you are carrying one of these, they know what your habits are. You know, like, so I go to the Y in the morning, get in my car, and then it'll tell me this many miles to Sheets, because I go to Sheets for a drink in the morning. Or this many miles to at home. Or I always go to Walmart during the week at the same time of the day. And I'll get in the vehicle and it'll say, 10 miles to Walmart, traffic is light. How did it know that? It knows my habits. Do you understand what I'm saying? It knows, and that's how algorithms work. Do you notice why you seem to get the same stuff over and over again on your news feeds or whatever, your social media stuff? Because it knows what you're interested in. Now that's mechanical. Satan and his evil angels don't need to read your mind. They've been observing you since you were born. They know what sins you engage in. They know what interests you. I mean, for instance, they're not tempting me with vegetables. They don't even bother with that. Do you understand what I'm saying? They know what makes you tick. They don't need to read your mind. Okay. Oh, that's exactly right. They've studied humanity ever since humanity existed. Yes. Yeah. All sins, all temptations are common to man, right? Yep. So just want you to understand that they don't need to read your mind. All right, before we move on and talk about types of angels, anybody else got a question? Tammy, did you have any more questions? All right, Mike's got a question now. We'll talk about an archangel in a moment, but he was an anointed angel and an anointed cherub, which is a different classification. So we'll get ready to talk about that in a moment. But that's a good question. Anybody else? All right, so let's talk about classifications. We're going to classify good angels and we're going to classify evil angels. Now, with good angels, there are several classifications that we find from the scripture. First one is angels. In the Old and New Testament, angel means messenger, which are numbered in the thousands of thousands. So in both the Hebrew language, angel means messenger, and in the Greek language, angel means messenger. So the first classification of angels, good angels, is they're messengers. Now here's where we get into more specific classifications. Cherubim. Cherub means to guard, and Satan may have been a cherubim before God's throne. These are those who are positioned to guard the throne of God or guard specific things. So for instance, when you read about the fall and Adam and Eve are cast out of the garden, he puts an angel there to guard. That was a cherub. That's the type of angel. Now, Satan, we just read in Ezekiel, he is described as an anointed cherub. So he was one who was positioned before the throne of God, a very high position. Now, there is also seraphim. Now, this is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 6 as standing before the throne of God. In Isaiah, he uses the classification of seraphim. and they are standing before the throne of God. Now, there's one other classification, and that is living creatures. And this is from the book of Revelation. They are mentioned in Revelation 4 as serving before the throne of God. Now, these are three different classifications. Now, some will say that they are three different classifications. I tend to believe they're all describing the same type of angel. Why? Because when you read the passages like Isaiah, like Revelation 4, and other passages concerning the throne of God and the living creatures and so forth, they always describe four of them. Typically, they're described having six wings. So the descriptions are very similar. It's just that Isaiah refers to them as seraphim. Revelation refers to them as living creatures. So what I would say to you is you can view them as different categories at this point, or they could be very much describing the same type of angel, but Satan was one of them. So talk about somebody who was in the presence of the Most Holy God all the time, and then you think about his fall, that somehow his pride got a hold of him, that he thought he was greater than God. Isn't that amazing? That tells you how corrupt pride can be to cause you to think that. All right, Mike mentioned this, archangels. Archangels have a special responsibility to protecting and prospering Israel. So when you talk about an archangel, it's always connected with Israel. And sometimes they are named, like Michael. And they have a responsibility to protect Israel. An archangel announced the birth of Jesus. An archangel announced the birth of Jesus, which would make sense if it's with regards to Israel, because Jesus is the what? The Messiah, right? The Messiah. An archangel heralds the return of Jesus Christ for his people. This would be 1 Thessalonians 4, where it describes the resurrection, or would be also commonly known as the rapture, where he meets us in the air. There's the sound of an archangel. Would you say, I thought that had something to do with Israel? Yeah, it does have something to do with Israel, right? With the Messiah coming to meet the church in the air. Because it sets in motion everything that's going to happen with Israel, right? Until his coming. So I don't believe Satan was an archangel. Because an archangel serves Israel. There's another classification, if you guys are ready for this, watchers. They are presented in the scripture. We don't know much about them. They are mentioned in Daniel as angels who are sent to observe and, of course, bring messages. They are only mentioned in the book of Daniel. That's a classification of an angel. Here's one we are familiar with, sons of God. The name sons of God is used since they are the creation of God. Now, let me just stop. Sons of God is used in multiple ways. It describes angels in some portions of Scripture. It describes who else? Us. But any kind of man? Yeah, believers, those who are saved. Do you understand? You are a son or daughter of God. Do you understand? But this is not the classification. There are angels. Some of the scripture refers to them this way. All right, now there are four ways that evil angels, fallen angels, are classified. Okay, and this is where we're going to wrap up. Those who are kept in prison. These are fallen angels who sinned and were cast into hell until the judgment. Listen to what Jude 6 says. And angels who did not stay within their position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Then there are the angels that are free. These angels exist in our world to support Satan and oppose the work of God's servants. So folks, they are very much around you, and they tempt you, they lie to you, yeah, accuse you. Demons is another classification, fallen angels who serve Satan and oppress human beings. Primarily where we see demons presented are in the Gospels, where Jesus comes in conflict with him. Now, to understand the power and authority of a demon versus Jesus and God, notice every time a demon comes in contact with Jesus in the Gospels, how do they react? That's right. They're afraid, Mike. They're scared. In fact, they're begging him not to send them to the abyss, which is where? Where the other angels are being held. They understand who he is, and they understand he is beyond them. He is the one who created them. So demons. And then, of course, there's Satan, spirit being who opposes God and seeks to frustrate his plans and lead his people into rebellion, which are his angels. And guess who else he leads into rebellion? Unbelievers. Now, here's the thing. One of the things I find it interesting, it's been a part of literature, it's been a part of media, even here recently, it's a part of the world culture, this concept that you could sell your soul to Satan. Have you heard that? Totally non-biblical. Satan doesn't need to buy your soul. He already has it. Do you understand? He already has everybody's soul who isn't a believer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because they're all going where? To hell. Do you understand? Now, his task is to ensure that they don't find Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? That he confuses them. He does whatever. It's because he doesn't want them to come to know Christ. Because when they come to know Christ, they are freed, they are redeemed, they are purchased, they are bought with a price, they are set free from what? The bondage of sin and the dominion of who? Satan, who, by the way, Paul says, is the god of this world. In fact, when you go over to Paul, he says this in 2 Corinthians 4, that our gospel is not hidden from the world. The news of Jesus Christ is not hidden from the world, but that the god of this world has blinded who? Unbelievers from understanding the gospel. Do you understand? This is who he is. All right. Next week, we're going to get into the work of angels. You'll be interested in that. And, of course, that's going to be good angels versus evil angels. And, again, we'll bring up the whole issue about guardian angels.